We have just barely emerged from the drama of the elections, but at this remove we can at least start to reflect on what the results mean for Ireland and Europe. It was a campaign that maybe it'd be fair to say few found exciting, but there were some moments to remember, and at the risk of re-traumatising the panellists here this afternoon, here's a flavour of some of those.
Unfortunately, I'm not getting the same support as other candidates are getting in this campaign, and that's a problem for me. If the Tannister goes for a canvas, he goes for a canvas with all three, and if he goes to do videos with one candidate, he has to do the videos with all three.
And just to say, Peter Casey has just left the microphone, so we will... I think he might have just an issue with his microphone. He will be back, hopefully.
We've had nine candidates elected nationwide who've been elected with their nickname listed on the ballot paper. We've had Michael Chicken Brennan for the Labour Party in Tipperary.
We have made some gains. They are modest, but they're there. It hasn't been our day. I am sorry that we didn't do better. I know that we can do better, and I'm determined that we will do better.
The plan here at this stage is to go to the midnights of maybe two, maybe three more counts to go, and we probably or may not have someone elected till tomorrow morning.
All right, well, no doubt we will be checking in with you again tomorrow evening, Brian, by the sense of that.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. We'll go to John Cook now in Castlebar. John Cook, any news for us?
No news.
John, I'm so sorry.
I just wonder what odds you get for a tilt at the Oris now, Luke Ming Flanagan.
I was asked would I consider it, and I certainly wouldn't rule it out. I've got elected at local level, at national level, European level, and sure, there's only one logical step next if I wanted to take it.
Claire, would you have a word with us?
You've no interest in talking to me for 5 years, so I've no interest in talking to you.
Well, I say it's clearly nonsense. We just won the election, haven't we? Nina Carberry and Maria Walsh have just been elected.
Is celebrity status key to getting to Europe now?
Well, sorry, Nina Carberry's not a celebrity, she's a champion.
I don't think it's good in coalition government when parties look to, for their electoral advantage about tackling colleagues with accusations that aren't true. We work well in coalition. We're not out there lambasting our colleagues or kind of doing personal attacks.
I love the precision at which the details of the parliamentary party get articulated. In electoral cycle terms, from now to March is a very short period of time. Work through the summer, work very hard.
Because an election could happen any time?
Elections can happen at any time.
So that's the story here in Ireland. Okay. Saudi. It took, what, 5-6 days, 20 counts, but we finally have five MEPs elected. I was in here last night and I met Teresa Reedy, the political scientist, and she was trying to sell me the idea of these ballot reading machines, the scanners that they have in Scotland. It would speed everything up. Sure, why would you want that? I mean, you'd miss out.
Oh, you're getting nostalgic already for the long term, Brian.
this is like somebody
after Labour thinking about that their next child. The pain is now a forgotten memory after the joy of the result.
A few of the memorable moments over the last few weeks and days, and indeed long nights there. The panel is still with me here in studio. Mairead Farrell, to you first. Your local election seats did go up. Your European tally did go up. But it'd be fair to say that Sinn Féin was underwhelmed by the extent of that increase. And I suppose there are a couple of questions that might be put. One is, why didn't the core vote come out? And of those that did come out and you didn't get their first preference, where did they go to?
Well, sorry, first of all, I just want to say I still haven't recovered from the elections, I have to say, because I ended up being in Cork on Thursday night to see Kathleen Funchen, who's a very good friend of mine, getting elected. So I still haven't fully recovered. But look, I think I thought the way the woman at the beginning of the programme said, you know, they are roller coasters and we love them and hate them equally, I think. But look, first of all, I just want to say, like, I think for anybody who's put their name forward, it is very grueling. And for anybody that didn't get elected, you know, it can be a very, very tough time. I've won elections and I've lost an election, and it can be very tough. I think the reality is that local and national elections are very different, right? And the reality is when you're at a door, for anybody who's done local election canvassing, first question most people will get asked is like, oh, and are they from around here? And, you know, local election boundaries and constituencies can be very small, but it is very, very localised. I think we probably underestimated the fact that, you know, to try and gain seats in a local election, you are facing up against incumbents. And obviously we had a bad election in 2019. And the reality is that local councillors work extremely hard. It's the vast majority of them work very hard and they deliver for their communities. So to gain seats can be very difficult.
They're hard to shift.
Yeah, they are. But and because they do the work, like, you know, most local councillors do the work.
If you look at the European election, there was very good transfer discipline between the various Sinn Féin candidates. 60% plus, you know, when two candidates were running various constituencies. Yeah. You pointed to Kathleen Funchin, that paid off really well for her. Yeah. Lynn Boylan and Dáithí Doolan paid off really well in Dublin. And Midlands North West, obviously less well, despite Chris McManus being an incumbent there. But I suppose, why didn't that translate on the local level? Was it just the number of candidates, or did Sinn Féin's vote not turn out, or did they go elsewhere? I suppose that's the question.
I think there's kind of three things for that. In terms of transfers, like it makes sense to me that transfers on a local level can be different to a European level. Like even, for example, when we were looking at boxes, if we were looking at certain people getting elected or not getting elected in Galway, we were saying, right, if that Fianna Fáil goes ahead of us, then it means that, or like goes ahead of the other Fianna Fáil, it's less likely we're going to get in because of where they're situated. Now, if that other Fianna Fáil who's near our candidate stays behind, which did happen, then, you know, we're going to get more transfers because of the local area, you know, the way it is. So I think that makes sense. Second of all, as I did say, people do vote maybe for someone who's in their estate or who lives up the road or whatever it may be. So again, there is that issue. And then, of course, we do know that local elections, people turn out to vote, is lower than in a general election. And it tends to be that younger cohort aren't as exercised maybe to go out and vote. And perhaps we have more support there.
Right. Personally, although Fianna Fáil and Tina Gael weren't as badly affected by that.
In terms of the younger cohort,
in terms of people coming out to vote and hitting their vote as badly, they were both down, but not by as much. And Fine Gael is now the largest, I think, party on Dublin City Council, so they haven't done too badly out of it, despite the low turnout.
But I think those three things still are a factor. So if you look at the younger cohort, say, you know, generally speaking, if we look at the way polls and stuff are, we would have a higher support in terms of a younger population. You know, I'm not saying that as an attack. I'm just saying that as a kind of a fact. Second of all, as well, if we have a situation when we came from very low ebb in 2019 in terms of the amount of councillors that we have, people are likely to vote for incumbents or for example, if somebody was stepping down, maybe they would vote for, you know, somebody, you know, who that person is endorsing.
I want to go on to the rest of the panel. Paul Murphy. Yeah. People for Profit increased their seats, or People for Profit Solidarity, the more broad label, have increased the seats. But in terms of looking at the idea of how indicative this is of a potential left alternative government next time around, it isn't particularly good news unless, by your own analysis, you broadened the definition of the left to also include the Labour Party, maybe, and even then it falls short.
Yeah, it does fall short. I mean, I think the talk of what a great election Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have had is overblown. I mean, they've had their worst ever local elections, both in terms of seat numbers and in terms of vote percentage. But they have obviously stabilised their position relative to 2020, relative to the opinion polls. And if this result was replicated in whatever number of months' time we're going to have a general election, we are facing the return of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, probably supported by some right-wing independents. And so I think that poses a challenge to all of us in the opposition and to the left in particular. And we think what needs to happen is that the left comes together. We have a clear...
To include the Labour Party in that now.
I mean, I think that there are lots of reasons to really doubt that in terms of the Labour Party has been in government relatively recently with Fine Gael, betrayed all of their election promises, implemented the water charges.
I heard your colleague Breed Smith out, who was unsuccessful in the European election, saying that basically Labour would have to wear sackcloth and ashes for their time in government before they would be considered. But I suppose what makes you the arbiters of what defines anything left of centre?
True, we're not the arbiters. But we need to have a discussion. I mean, for me, there are effectively three core things that a vote left, transfer left pact should include. Number one, a commitment not to go into coalition with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. I think if you offer people a real alternative and the chance that we can end more than 100 years of rule by Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, I think people will turn out to vote. Secondly, I think we need a commitment from all those parties to not go along with the scapegoating of asylum seekers. I don't just think it's morally wrong. I think it was politically disastrous for Sinn Féin to go along with that, to welcome the government's performative cruelty, to say they would go further because it's centred migration, which is not the problem.
Are you concerned that people don't are looking at the alternative and deciding on the basis of these local election results that, you know, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael combined 46% combined, plus maybe a few independents, maybe the Greens again. But there's enough there on the basis of that. They obviously, all the caveats, second order election, different type of election, etc. But this is local government where there is influence on housing, where the government could be judged on that record, and people still voted the way they voted.
They did. I think there's a lot of people who will have woken up the next day, well, when the counts really came through and thought, Jesus, I don't want that. Maybe I voted independent this time because I want to vote against the political establishment and there's a good independent locally of whatever character. And I think we have a challenge on the left to expose the reality. I mean, we did a press conference, we unveiled a slogan in the final week of the campaign saying most of these independents are sheep in wolves' clothing. In other words, they pretend to be opponents of the government, but I sit there in the Dáil and at voting night, most of them are voting with the government. They voted confidence in ministers. They voted for Micheál Martin as Taoiseach. They voted for Rikers, Taoiseach.
They obviously feel that will go down well with their constituents. Well,
that's not the base in which they win votes. They win the likes of your Michael Collinses, your Matty McGraths, the Independent Alliance or Independent Ireland people. They like to shout and roar as if they're the opposition to the government when in reality they provide backing for the government.
All right. James Brown. The Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have said, you know, it's a good result, etc. And obviously, you are down votes at the local level, but it's been a good European election as well. But it's facing into a general election now, and both parties, both of the larger parties, will be looking to pick up second seats. So it's a bit of a dilemma, isn't it? In order to maintain the positive transfer dynamics, you have to be nice to each other. And so the only option is really to go after the independents, isn't it? But you might need them too, so you have to tread very carefully. I mean, it's going to be a shaky time for the coalition for the next few months.
Well, look, it was a successful government election for Fianna Fáil. I mean, many were predicting that we would come a distant third and maybe even fourth, and we're the largest party in local government for the third elections in a row. Double our seats in Europe, and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael combined have over 50% of all local authority seats. So
do you like the sound of that, the words Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael combined, we head towards the general election?
Well, they're the two largest parties in government at the moment, and this is a problem in our parliament. The parliament is based on the concept that everybody wants to be in government, and you have to get to 50% plus one. What we're increasingly seeing in a fractured opposition is TDs who have no interest in being in government, or in the case for the likes of People for Profit, won't go into government unless they have like their kind of final fantasy government. And that is causing major problems in terms of going to be able to put governments together in the future. And in fairness to the Labour Party, while anytime they've been in government, they may not have gotten everything they wanted, they do want to govern what's in the interest of this country. And it's not too often I praise the Labour Party, but you have to want to govern. In terms of Fianna Fáil going into the general election, you will see a coalescing of votes to the different parties, people focusing on who they want to see in government. And I think what the message out of these elections was, people want hope, they want solutions. They're kind of constantly selling of trying to get yourself into the Dáil basically just by attacking the government is not sufficient.
Okay, but you're trying to appeal to the same kind of voter that votes Fine Gael and votes independent. How can the cohesion of the coalition be kept? We saw what was done to the Greens during the course of the election campaign in terms of rhetoric from both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil candidates, not everybody, but some candidates. How can you guarantee there won't be a repeat of that in the course of a general election and even how that will affect the intergovernment relations as it draws to a close?
Well, I certainly believe there should be no personalisation in politics, and you do see that sometimes, and it's unfortunate and it should not happen. But parties, even when they've been in government together, are entitled to campaign on their own policies, set out what they believe should happen if they're in government, what they want to see delivered, and then you enter that compromise in forming a government to get the maximum amount you can get delivered based on the size of what your party is. Fianna Fáil is distinct from Fine Gael. We have a proud Republican tradition. We are a centre-left party, and we have always sought to be a very pragmatic Republican
party. I just want to let Paul Murphy respond to that point. James Brown saying, you don't want to be in government.
Well, he accepted that we do want to be in government, in fairness to him. No, mostly they say we don't want to be, because we do want to be in government. Well, we want to be in a left government. And what he describes as, I think, a Final Fantasy government is a government that would actually bring about radical change in this country. So in order, if after the next election, there's the opportunity to have a government without Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, we will vote for that nominee for Taoiseach. We voted for Mary MacDonald after the last election. Whether we join a government or not, as in take ministerial positions, would depend on whether the government is actually committed to a real left programme. For example, right. Nationalisation of the private health system to build a national health
very briefly, Marie Things Farrell, that would actually make difference in a word, lives. Entering into the next general election, would you rule out Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in order to get Paul Murphy on side?
To be fair, we've always, and I've had this conversation so many times with Paul, I think, but to be fair, we've been always very clear that we will talk to anybody, but it's about delivering the political programme that we wanted, the programme for government that we want to deliver. I really do feel that if Paul is serious about this, then he would need to be saying that he would go into a government. And look, Paul, I know we've had this conversation many a time, but people need stability as well. Right. And we need to be able to deliver in terms of housing, in terms
exactly.
of health.
Exactly, but that's,
we need
to that's the base on which we would go into government. Well, we would go into government
you may have to
if there is
this
commitment
conversation.
To build public
health. You may have to continue this conversation by phone after 2 o'clock because we do have to go to a break. We want to come back and have a look at that demonstration outside the home of the Taoiseach last night and where the legislation to ban protests at the homes of individuals is at now. That's coming up next.
Saturday with Conor Mo Mungon on RTE Radio 1.